Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
This is The Potty with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
What's up, all you cute kiddos out there? It's the Trim Healthy Podcast with Serene, Pearl, and I'm Danny. And I know we say this a lot, but we mean it. We're so glad you're here because it's a crazy world out there. But what matters is that you're keeping it sane on
the
inside.
It's more crazy in here in this potty house, and that will just make it all feel settled up.
Yeah, then you will feel so calm.
So when you turn it off, that you go back to just like, all is well. All is well. We could endure that. What can't we endure, Jesus?
What is with your voice, Dan, sounding so deep and growly and manly?
I've just got a little seasonal whiffle.
You know he takes tea on the side. The old testosterone?
Yeah, I reckon he's doing that to lower his voice.
Now he's
a voiceover man.
He's Mexican. I've heard him say he don't need to take no tea. Oh,
okay. That's a fair. I'm glad you remembered.
You said it one day.
No, it's
I remembered.
It's the truth. I can't relate to that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
We just got a cold then.
You're saying that.
Sometimes the manliest men take tea, like my husband.
Yeah, I mean, I'm also not the same age as your husband.
That's true.
I might change my tune.
And he had a little pituitary. He hates me sharing about all this thing. Yeah.
What else about Charlie's growth?
I can't wait to get my husband on tea.
I love my husband on tea. When he was 50, they discovered a little pituitary benign tumor, which was messing his hormones badly.
Affected,
I was like, where is my husband? I don't know where my husband is.
You noticed
and, it. Oh, I knew something was up. It had tanked his tea and raised some other things. So he's been on tea for a good 15 years.
And it's sustainable.
Oh,
like he doesn't get used to it and then
man.
It doesn't work.
He's awesome.
Yeah, he's great. I mean, tea.
He's one of the most aggressive
men I know.
He
brought my husband back, that's for sure.
I got to answer the phone, guys.
By identical hormones. Why are you answering the phone?
You can't possibly.
Serene.
So, Pearl, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good.
Yeah?
But I'm trying distracted by her.
All well at the Barrett house?
Yes.
Yeah?
All is well.
Even down to the dogs?
Actually, are you gone, Serene? I'm back.
I've
just
back.
Come back. Yeah. Now, it doesn't seem to you guys, because we pre-recorded some potties, but just came back from Mexico, of course. It's our place, our home away from home.
Yeah.
Actually, my daughter Autumn, for her Christmas present last year, she wanted to travel. So we thought, well, things will open up. And, you know, she really wanted to go to Europe, like... because this is her last year of school and she like wanted to do the traveling thing. And of course, nothing opened up. So we said, well, Autumn, there's Mexico or there's nothing. And we have timeshares there. You know, you want to come to mom and dad's timeshare. And she's like, okay, okay.
Do you have a timeshare?
I love her timeshares. She takes all the sisters once a year to a timeshare.
And it's not really time. They call it vacation club. Terrible, terrible. Non-wisdom way of putting your money into something.
Yeah.
But really, really good because it makes you go and it makes you take family.
Yeah, right. Like, is it
best
out there?
Memories because you're like, well, I have to pay for that. I got to
like
use it.
Yeah, like if you took the whole podcast crew or something.
Yeah, right.
Just be crazy.
I would be. So,
he's like, hint.
So Autumn, my youngest daughter and her cousin Tivi, more like sisters, they both work at the cafe. At the Trim Healthy Mama Cafe, soon to be Blue Butterfly Cafe. Guys, these girls work hard. I mean, your daughters work there too now, Serene. And they work 10-hour shifts because they go from, is it 7 to 4? Is that 10 hours? Yeah.
No, to 5, bro.
7 to 5.
So
yeah.
Is that a child labor situation?
Yeah, no, well, they're above 16, so... 10 hours and they care about it and they, you know, they work hard and Autumn's also finishing school. And so she, you know, it was so exciting for her to go to Mexico. We had the most beautiful time. They fell in love with it. They didn't want to come back. But, you know, so we ate out every meal. And not to brag on my own little horn or anything, but I'm pretty good at eating out now. I'm pretty good at eating in Mexico fresh fish. Fresh fruit.
You were killing it in New Jersey.
Salad. I mean, what's not to love? Goat cheese. I mean, you can eat Serene like a real good healthy queen there. You know, you can eat
good foods.
And there's rice and beans too. I mean, so, you know, so we ate well, not to say I didn't have some vitamin P pleasure things. You know, a few meals I would eat things that I normally wouldn't hear, but I'd just get right back onto it.
Yeah, I accidentally whooped a donut down the other day.
Did you? Accidentally or on purpose?
No, my dad came to visit and he hasn't visited in a long time.
Well, then that was on purpose.
He brought a box of donuts and I...
You do that with your dad.
Yes. That's dad bonding right
there. It was kind of rare because I'm really on my grass these days.
Yeah, I know, but that's okay because that's dad and Dan.
Yeah, it was vitamin P.
Yeah. Vitamin P is important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think so.
I was punished for it.
Oh, it
my body told me, yeah, bad boy. And now I learned, you know, reminder.
Sometimes things are worth it. So anyway, every single meal, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 2 weeks.
No. You're forgetting. You're forgetting, Pearl. You had just come back from a work trip where we had to go and check out the cafe Fort Worth.
And then we went
And then we went to the anti-aging summit so we could learn and keep up to breath with the latest.
You've been gone for a long time. Eating out a lot of restaurants.
I even said to Sam, I don't know how she's doing it. Like I understand that it's super fun.
Yeah.
But it gets to a point where you just want to get back to your own
It gets
own food.
To the point where it's like, wow, I have to do another restaurant. Poor me, right? But you actually think. So when you lose something.
Like the king who's just tired of his feasts.
But when you lose something, you value it. Like if you ever had to gone without a toilet for a day.
I have.
Oh, man.
Oh, I have.
Serene lived in a home without a toilet for a while.
I don't seem to suffer, though, when that happens.
But on the way home, I got this feeling like I started to imagine my kitchen again. And I got this welling up inside of me of this joy and this ownership. It was like these four words just kept popping into my head. And that's these four words are what this potty is about.
Ooh, hit us.
I have a kitchen.
Poignant.
I have a kitchen. No, good. You guys don't understand.
We don't. Continue.
I have a kitchen?
Oh.
Do you listening here right now have a kitchen?
Come on.
You're so blessed. I mean, a kitchen. It's like the hugest gift in the world because it's your tool for everything. It's all you need.
And if you have a kitchen, you probably have some knives. All the tools to chop up those good old Peter Bunny stuff.
And I want to ask you this. This is the next thing. Are you the boss of your kitchen? Let's just say you share it with your husband, okay, but it's still like you're the manager of it. So you mean you don't even have to answer to someone else? And like be there.
Like don't open the third drawer on Tuesday.
No. What if you have a kitchen and you're the boss of your kitchen? Oh my goodness, that's so huge.
You're the boss of your kitchen.
Wow. When I was a little girl, you know, I used to play kitchens. And then before I got married, I just envisioned having my own kitchen. I was like, what?
Do you remember when you were engaged and you got a kitchen shower?
And
remember that?
Yes.
And you got your first wooden spoon.
And you pictured yourself in that kitchen and you're like, no way, I'm going to have a kitchen. And then we do get a kitchen and then we take it for granted. And then we don't even take it for granted. What do?
We loathe it.
We despise it.
What? It's more than 5 minute prep time? Can't do it.
Oh, I hate being in the kitchen. Don't think I'm you know, like my nose down at you. I've had these same thoughts. And then when I just got this feeling inside me like of ownership again, of absolute gratefulness, I couldn't believe I had a kitchen. I came home and Charlie's like, Pearl, you're being so domestic. Like I got in there and I was excited to unload the dishwasher. I went and I cleaned all my fridge out with yucky old food.
And you never clean your fridge.
Never. But I have a kitchen.
Little sister got her.
No,
it's true.
I went to the grocery store and filled it with good, healthy food.
Well, they had got back from the airport at 4:30. Then she had to see the rest of her children.
Yeah.
No, you got into the airport, I think, 4:30. Yeah. So you had to drive all the way back to the Podunks of the hilltop.
It's an hour and a half.
And then you saw me at church the next morning and you said, oh, yes, I've already gone to the grocery store. And I'm like, what?
Yeah,
you
motivated that night because Chrissy. And each article I put in my fridge. Like I put those the organic carrots
with
in
such
there.
Intention.
And yes, and I put that cashew milk. Oh, you beautiful cashew milk. Look at you. You're so sweet. Everything was placed in there with absolute gratefulness and joy and knowledge of what it was going to do to me. Because even though I didn't gain weight because I was gone, we walked so much, you know, and I ate pretty healthy food. But these are my foods now. They're my
and
foods.
And you're in charge. You don't have to pay 25 cents extra for one more plop of
I know, and I have direction. And I thought to myself, those of us with kitchens, we are the most blessed people in the world. Mm-hmm. If you're sitting here today and you don't have a kitchen, maybe you're in your mother-in-law's house for a few months. Okay, so I'm not talking to you, but guess what? One day you will have your own kitchen.
Yes.
And you are going to be the most blessed woman in the world.
And it doesn't have to be fancy and filled with marble tiles.
No, it doesn't. Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene. This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y. Have you seen the National Geographic? Like, sometimes they'll take documentaries around the world, and they'll go into tribes, and some kitchens are just made, they're mud floors,
yeah,
and they're wooden little benches, but the lady's got a couple of babies on her back too, but yeah, it's her kitchen, and you can, yes, tell the pride, and it's clean and neat for us, how much she can keep it clean and neat, but there's pride there.
I know. And
it's her kitchen.
In Mexico, we went to this remote beach. It was this little place, if you've ever been there, it's close to Puerto Vallarta. It's called Yulapa. And to get there, you have to take a boat ride. You can't get in there by car. And then we took this horse ride up a mountain to see a waterfall. And it was quite dangerous, actually. There's barbed wire. We went through this little village and all the doors were open so we could see inside their houses. And the danger was just the barbed wire. We kept almost cutting ourselves up because the horse would go right against it. You know, can you turn your phone off, Serene?
It's on for the toddlers, love heart.
And
the toddlers can text? Or is Sam sending
toddlers,
you text messages?
The toddlers can text.
Just little winky faces. And just like she ignores the podcast for the worst reason. She's just flirting with Sam.
I'm flirting. I'm totally flirting.
I saw into their homes. And this is one thing I noticed. This is when I started getting my stirrings of pride and ownership back for my own kitchen. I saw their kitchens because they were right there as you walked into the door. You know how we walk, you have an entranceway, then a living room, then you walk in the kitchen sort of in its own beautiful area. There was a kitchen right there. And I saw them. And like you were saying, Serene, someone was stirring and you could see her in there. And she was creating something beautiful. And there was a big pot boiling. I saw it in so many homes because it was lunchtime as we were going past. It was like Mexican lunch, which is about 2 or 3. They have it later. And it was neat and tidy, but there was intentional stuff going on in there. And no one, these homes were very, very basic. Everyone looked so happy.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone was smiling. Little children were playing. I mean, there's low form of depression in Mexico. It basically doesn't exist, at least in these small villages. I was reading about it. There was just happiness. There was pride. And there was a lot of, I could feel it almost like I caught it. It was like this, I have a kitchen and I'm creating, yes, something special. And it doesn't mean that I'm going to become a big purist like Serene and start from scratch. It just means that I have a kitchen, so I'm going to do it my way, Pearl way. But I have every tool that I need to live a fantastic, healthy life for the rest of my life. Because I have a kitchen.
And sometimes we have to be reminded that we have a kitchen and be reminded of just the wonder and the glory of it all. Sometimes I'm in and I'm in the kitchen and I need to remind myself because my feet might be getting tired and I'm counting my hours in there, especially for the preparation for my big Shabbat feast.
Yeah.
A Friday night, I do the big feast and all my married couples come back and it's so fun. But like a little arrow from the darkness comes and says, you've been slaving around here all day. I know it was a dark thought.
Yeah.
And, you know, I might go with it for a few minutes and just get all stressed and think, oh, yeah, you know, is this sustainable for the rest of my life, you know? Yeah. But then the thought will come and it's the truth thought. This is my kitchen and this is my glory. And do you know what? What an honor to do this to my family. Mm. I'm making memories here and I'm making artisan food that is going to nurture their soul as well as their bellies. But, you know, sometimes we need people. Your trip reminded you, Pearl, yeah, but sometimes we need people. Now, can I just talk about somebody?
Yes.
So I have a lady that's staying in one of our outbuildings. My husband loves outbuildings. He's built a lot. We have Haven's Hotel. That my daughter Haven got a hotel for her birthday. Well, really, it wasn't that. It was like a little shack thing.
Loves a good Bonnaroo property.
Yes.
Like what these all are, Serene's not really explaining it very well, is they're little tiny homes, but not tiny homes like you see built on HGTV or something. They're like made from things that shouldn't be homes, but they're so cute.
Like tree houses almost.
Well, Haven's Hotel was like, it looked like a sheep shed. No, that's Chalice's Palace. But now it's going to, I mean, it's, well, how many square feet do you think? It's like 250 or something
Haven's
like that?
Hotel?
Yeah.
I reckon it's about 400 because it's got an upstairs.
Oh, yeah. It's
250, but Chalice's
Palace is huge. But it started off this little deer processing building that Sam had. And then he gave it to Chalice for Christmas. And he's like, I'll finish it off for a little library. Where he goes big or goes home.
Oh, yeah.
So he took it up two flights. And then he's like, well, I just want to put a third flight on. So it was the third story is like a mushroom. And it's this big. It's twice the breadth and the width of
the bottom of
the bottom two, and it's and then
so cute.
And then there's these pillars that come off this top third going down to the bottom
that support the top.
It's Chalice's Palace. So this lady's come to live in Chalice's Palace. She's actually Arden, my eldest son.
Yeah,
Arden's wife's mother. Okay. Her name is Elizabeth, and they've come because Canada's getting weird.
Yeah.
Yes, and so they've come to just...
Oh, we have a lot of Canadians listening to
that. No. Well, bless the Canadians. But in her town, it was getting a little bit hard to
live life.
Yes.
Yeah, she wanted more freedom.
I think I took a note from Sam because when I built my house down the road, I had a second story deck. And instead of being supported by posts, I supported it with massive brackets like you would support like a shelf.
Yes.
I built these huge exterior thick brackets, and so this thing floated and had no ground support.
Danny's a great architect, a great carpenter. In fact, we brought one of Danny's houses.
Yeah, we have one.
Danny's a
but
good
anyway,
builder.
To the point. So she's here, but she's also here, of course, because she wanted to visit her daughter and her granddaughter.
Yeah, her husband's coming, but he's still working.
Yeah, he's just got to finish up some stuff or whatever. Or whatever God does, she might go back. Mm. She probably would go back. It's just here for a little season. But she couldn't see the grandbaby for 2 years because the borders were shut. So this is a special time. So she's in she's in Chalice's Palace. This lady, she's just pottering around. Like, she just loves to cook. Mm. She's an amazing foodie. But the joy she has just stirring a pot, it's a special look in her eye. And so the other day she was making some Ethiopian amazing dish and she asked for some spice.
But you're not explaining it well, Serene, because this is in Chalice's Palace and there's no proper
kitchen. I'm going to get to that.
Okay.
I'm going to get to that. So she borrowed a spice that she thought had the same name as the spice she needed. But when she put it all in, she realized it wasn't the same spice, even though it had the same name on it, that wherever she'd brought it from, they had falsely put that sticker on it because it was 500 times hotter, okay, than it should be. Okay. And I'm like, oh my goodness, you must be so depressed. You're going to have to cook the whole thing again. She goes, oh no, I love being in the kitchen. I love cooking. But it's almost like I saw in that moment she said that it's almost like it was her identity. And it wasn't like it wasn't going to be a lot of energy. Of course it was. And then it would be slightly annoying. Of course it would be to repeat the recipe. But I could tell when she said that it was a line that she's repeated a lot in her life and that it's actually become her identity. Oh, no. I love to cook. Mm-hmm. So it had become the thing she wore over her life. And Chalice's Palace, the kitchen was made for my boys. My boys were going to move out of our house and live in Chalice's Palace. And there was enough of a kitchen made so that they could pour some cereal and maybe fry an egg.
Maybe heat up some soup.
Yeah. And she's cooking these gourmet meals and having people over for tea parties. She had candles going.
When I went over to see you, you were up visiting with her and I walked up there and Elizabeth's her name.
Yes. Yeah,
she had a lovely table, beautiful tablecloth. China tea set.
Yes, she brought with
her. She had candles. And this is in Chalice's Palace made for teenage boys, you know?
Yeah.
Now. And she just had it so beautiful and the atmosphere was beautiful. There was a diffuser going, everything. And I was just like, what am I transformed into here? But it was just someone's care and someone's pride.
I tell you what you were transformed into. You were transformed into a place where a person had realized a kitchen is a glorious place to dwell in.
Yeah.
It's a glorious place. And she made this little podunk, you know, like little shack in the hills, teenage bachelor flat. She'd made it into a glorious queendom.
She had. And I really learned from her again. Oh, Serene, you have a kitchen and your kitchen is a lot grander and bigger than that teenage thing. And you haven't lit a candle for how long?
Nary a candle.
I know. I got up this morning and I'm still living in this euphoria of I have a kitchen. And, you know, we listened recently to the Potty Essential Oil people and I got out my, you know, diffuser and I had it going and I was like forest bathing in my kitchen. And I just kept thinking, you know, there's a lot in this world right now. There are a lot of things that are going on and there's a lot of excuses people could say. You know, my own excuses. I could have come back from Mexico if I didn't go through that village and see that pride that they had in their kitchens. And I could come back, oh man, now I have to cook for myself again. You know, oh man, wasn't it so great when I got every meal made for me? And this takes a lot of time, this cooking and then the cleaning. But somehow I just was blessed to receive this download, yeah? And I thought to myself, you know, we could all say, there are so many excuses why we say, but this is too hard, this whole health thing. You mean I have to cook? You have to do all that? I just can't stay on track. All of these different things are too expensive, but it's just hard. I want to eat that. This is that. All of it gets wiped away by these four words. I have a kitchen. There's really no other tool you need to get to what ever goal you want to
do. Because you have ownership and everything else is an excuse when you have those four words. You've got to own those four words.
Whether you work outside the home, whether you work inside the home, whether you do your prep on Saturday or whether you just do little bits every day, whether you're a planner, whether you're a winger, you have a kitchen. Mm. You are so blessed. You can fill your fridge.
You might even have a blender in there.
You might. Oh my goodness.
You might.
What the?
Even have a pot or two.
What?
You got all the tools.
You might even have one of those things that cuts an apple like all at once.
Oh my goodness. One of those things that decoils it.
You just push it down.
You could have a can opener.
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, great amazing.
People used to open cans with their teeth.
I mean, ovens. We're talking. I came and I looked at my kitchen. I was like, I have an oven. I have a dishwasher. I have these cupboards with all these spices.
If you were three and all of that was plastic and given to you, you would have thought you died and went to heaven.
I think I can relate to this.
Little Tyke's kitchen, you know?
Yeah.
When I was a new carpenter, I had an SUV. Just picture opening the back of an SUV, and when you look in, it looks like a huge dumpster has been filled. Those were my tools.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? I tried to organize them as good as I can, but we had this thing called the 5 o'clock chuck. And that's when after a long work week and it's time to go home and you finish a job, there's no organization happening. You are chucking it in. And all I thought when I was getting tools in and out over and over was, man, if I had a workshop.
Oh, yeah.
If only I had a workshop, I could be so efficient. And I remember picturing where my chop saw would go, how the table saw would outfeed after the cut to be laying ready for the chop saw to be next. And I would just perfectly lay everything out. Like a little girl dreaming of a kitchen, right? And I finally had enough money and we built a detached building behind my house and it was just a woodworking shop. A building as big as my house, but all wide open floor plan with tools everywhere. Yeah. And I had used a computer to lay out where everything was going to go. I had a drawer for everything.
Yeah.
There was a drawer for these chisels and a drawer for those chisels.
Right.
Like they are different chisels for different purposes. And I remember I would be out there, and at the time I drank coffee sometimes, and I would be sipping my coffee and the wood fire would be heating it. And I was in the most glorious moment and I would say, I have a workshop. Yeah. I finally have a workshop and I can't believe, and it was before I got to the loathing days, by the way. But at first I had a workshop and I had this understanding that in carpentry, it was actually a spiritual act. Yeah. Because how often do you get to partner with the creator who made the tree? Right. But the tree stands in the forest until the craftsman takes the tree and crafts it into something and gives it as a gift to mankind. And so I had furniture I made all over my house.
I love where you're going with this.
I was building furniture for friends.
It's funny that Jesus was a carpenter too.
Crazy, right?
Hey, you're listening to The Potty with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
This is The Potty with Serene
and
Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
Can I ask you something? And this is aside the point, which I want to get back to the point in the end. But you, Danny, I've just never thought this, and you did not say this in your book. What if I could? You never told this story. You grew up in the hood, was like, you were some like scary drug seller thug, but somehow God
that's right.
grew you up, right?
That's right. That's right.
How on earth from, you know, not going to school and selling drugs and being in a gang, did you go from that to being a carpenter? No one taught you those skills because you didn't have a dad in your life. You know, and you met your dad a few years ago.
Yeah. 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 I was just, you know, for survival, looking for work, and found a job that started with as a painter, met Sam out on a job site. And
so you started with, before Sam, you hadn't done carpentry schools?
No. And I just painted a little at an apartment complex because again, trying to survive, getting a job anywhere I could. And then went from Sam to, at that same job site, there were trim carpenters. And I went, oh man, those guys, they are decorating the house. They're putting the gingerbread trinkets up on these Victorian houses. And I was just like, dude, that is studly. And so, of course, Sam fired me. We know the story. And I went to work.
No, he actually told me, he's like, he would be a great carpenter.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
No, if I kept going, I mean, I'd be doing like spiral staircases.
Yeah, because you had a love for, you never knew that you could do it. You could just do it. Because you know how, did it just come naturally to you then?
Yeah. When I started carpentry, I could almost jog through the house, hanging up the most ornate moldings.
Yeah, that's amazing because that's a gift. That's a talent.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy. I really took to it. But, you know, I remember thinking, I just had this understanding once in my workshop that I, like, where else can you partner with God in crafting something for mankind? He provides the wood. Mm-hmm. I craft the wood. And then, so as you're talking, I started seeing the kitchen as this spiritual crafting center.
Yeah.
You're taking beyond wood that is made for furnishing use or building use, you're taking cells that have energy and mitochondria,
right,
and you are crafting and mixing them to your heart's desire according to what your history, your experience, what you want to bring to the earth. And in the kitchen, you can perform your spiritual act of partnering with God and crafting something amazing for mankind that could either nourish their children's cells and family cells or destroy their cells. And it's so powerful to think.
It's so true. And as we're talking, it's I have a kitchen. I have a workshop. That's the truth. But people, I hate my kitchen. I'm sick of my workshop. People think that's the truth now. But we have to realize that's not the truth. That's called negativity. That's called like lack of energy or what would we call it? But it's not necessarily truth because the beginning understanding, the foundation of that realization and that contentment and that moment, I have a kitchen. Mm-hmm. Like when you first get married, you move into your own kitchen, or Danny, when you first got the workshop, that is the truth of it all.
Yes.
And these other statements that are going through your brain, like these dark darts, like come into my brain sometimes on Friday when I feel like I've been in there for hours, then they're not truth.
No.
They're not truth at all.
Well, they're deception. And I think then once we've realized I have a kitchen, the possibilities, like you say, Danny, are endless, but the possibilities are now what's possible. Anything's possible here. Yeah. I can use this to take my health to an incredible, incredible places in just simple ways. You mean I get to bake a sweet potato? You mean I get to do that and have that it with oven? A salad and put some creamy, dreamy protein in my dressing? You mean I get to do that?
The things that simple can come food out of that oven, the are endless possibilities.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be intricate. It's just so simple.
And zoom out a minute. You're this, you're on this magical planet, and it has these resources, and you can harvest them and craft them in a way that brings life. And, you know, that's, and I get, you know, things become mundane, you know.
Yeah, they
do. It goes from I have a kitchen to I'm stuck in a kitchen.
Yes, it
like
does.
Like it's someone else's kitchen.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, well, we'll sell this house anyways in a couple years and someone else will, and it was someone else's kitchen before. But no, no, right now you are the creature on this, like it's a miracle that you even made it here. But here you are on this planet and you can take its, you can harvest its resources, which is why I'm really getting back to this local farming thing. Because you actually, instead of just whipping it off a shelf into your cart, I love to go meet the grower, right? Mm-hmm. And then buy from them, you know, and see it harvested. And, you know, I think there's a lot about our modern life that does sort of disconnect us from
and then we get disconnected even from our kitchen, even
constant
from our place of connection with with cells. And
I agree, and I feel like there's an originality that the first layer of the realization of these things, like I have a kitchen, I have a workshop, or wow, I have a puppy.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And then it starts pooping and whining through the night, you know.
And it's like, where'd this puppy come from?
But that joy of and the gorgeousness and the fluffiness and the little roly-poliness of the puppy, that hasn't gone anywhere.
No.
And
the
it's still
tummy.
Yours. Yeah,
the dirt. It smells like a skunk.
Milky
tummy. Yeah, the little milk pork dripping out the side of its mouth. You still have a puppy, guys.
Well, what about when you have a baby?
Yeah, well, way more.
And it wants the treemies.
Yeah, it wants the tweemies at the middle of the night, 3 a.m, but you still have a baby.
But you have a baby.
The realization. So I feel like the enemy.
And we don't let ourselves talk bad about a baby. We can say I was up all night, but we don't say, I have a baby.
Yeah, I'm sick of this. I just need a day off by myself. No. You see, these negativities, they try and steal the original truth.
Yeah.
They try and steal it. But we've got to go back to, I have a kitchen, mate.
Yeah, so true. And you know what? This is really interesting for those of you right now that you're in your kitchen and maybe it's not your dream kitchen, okay? Maybe you keep thinking, man, when I get a dream kitchen, I could do all that Trim Healthy Mama cooking stuff, you know? But when you watch something like, have you ever watched that show on HGTV? Charlie and I used to watch it all the time. It's when they pick the home, House Hunters.
Yeah.
But they'll go, if you go to House Hunters International or something, you'll go to some city overseas and there's be these tiny, tiny flats and they have to pay a lot of money to live in this tiny little apartment. And then they'll show the kitchen and it's like, I can barely turn around and you know, both of them are in there.
It's one easy bake oven.
Yeah, it's so tiny. But then you see, you know, and they've rented the place or they've bought it and you see them like 6 months later. And then they're in there and they're creating all these things and they just love it. It's the best thing in the world. Mm-hmm. Oh, we love the kitchen. We found out we didn't need all the room we thought we did because it's their kitchen and they're making the best of it and their ownership and all the possibilities are endless and it's all how we think about
it. It would be my dream to have a small kitchen. I'd have one chair in the middle that rotates and I would just rotate the whole thing.
Pearl, do you remember when we first came to America and we just drove in the back of that little tiny Pontiac and you had the guitar in the back seat with us? It would just be like very squashed.
Yes.
And we did that for quite a while. And we finally got this really cheapo apartment.
Yeah.
Our parents and us. And it was probably like in the hoods where Denny.
Because we had a bedroom. We had a closet.
Yeah, we had a closet. But listen. We had been living at other people's homes because my parents were traveling across America in itinerant ministry for over a year. We finally got this apartment. And like I said, it was kind of in the hood. But we had a kitchen, Pearl.
Mm, I know.
It was the ugliest, foulest kitchen, probably cockroach infested because it wasn't a good area.
No, it was
and
it bad. Was,
and my dad really couldn't work yet because he didn't have a green card. And it was in a low, yeah, it was low. But I tell you what, the joy, Pearl, half I think the reason where the Trim Healthy Mama is alive is the joy we've started finding and cooking
and we
together
were just,
in that little kitchen.
Yes, cooking together. And we were you were still a teenager. I was not married. But we discovered a love for cooking in that little apartment.
That was
didn't
it. I really believe that. Because think back into Australia, 18 Welby Street. That's not where it was.
Mom did the cooking
It was that
then.
Disgusting apartment, cockroach apartment. And then people below us,
yeah.
I think they were a different nationality that's cooked with like rotten fish. Do you remember that?
Mm.
There was a smell that came out from the apartment underneath us that was very much like a fermented fish eyes. It had been fermenting for 8 months or something like that.
It's my fave.
So our apartment stunk.
It did.
But we loved that. We had a kitchen.
Oh, we loved our apartment stream. That was one of the best times of our lives.
Yeah.
Yeah, we discovered a joy for cooking back then. And, you know, I think that we've gone through times like with recipe books where we have to be in the kitchen 15 hours a day and yeah. it really wears you down. Yeah. But then I think, you know, and it's in the Bible, different things, of course, like, you know, return me to my first love. Yeah. Oh, God.
Yes.
We have to remind ourselves of our love and of our privilege and of our honor to have these simple things that we're given and we get to be in charge of. Yeah. And taking dominion, taking responsibility.
Taking dominion. Going back to Elizabeth.
Yes.
So the first day she was in there, remember there was a little mason jar of all different colored cotton?
Yeah.
We're like, oh, that's quaint. Because we're thinking she's just bringing whatever she can to survive for a few months. She goes, oh, no, it's beautiful. And isn't it beautiful? Don't you think? Don't you love the colors? And it's just so homely. She'd taken dominion off of that, you know, teenage little flat and made it her place of divine glory, like just a place where she could create all these masterpieces. And I think we've got to take dominion. So it can be a simple, very poor place, but you can make it yours. And it doesn't have to be through expensive ways. Even just a mason jar filled with colorful cotton made it pretty to her and made it a place she wanted to be in.
I know. And the small, it's true, but it's also the way we think of it. Like the diffuser this morning was diffusing more beautiful smells than I've ever smelled in my life.
Yeah.
Just because I have a kitchen. Yes. Like I got up this morning and made Auntie Pearl's muffins, you know, from the Trim Healthy Future book. I've made those muffins 100 times before, but this morning.
Yes.
It was the best experience. They came out of my oven. I got up at like 5 and I got up early just to be in my kitchen.
Yes.
And it was incredible. And it was just a little tweak before of the mindset.
Before we go, probably everything's a tweak of the mindset. When I'm exercising, I can either think, do I have to do this for the rest of my life? Because this is torture. Or I could think, I get to move. Wow. Yeah. I get to move. This is like a full body massage, internal massage. Yeah. Like, oh, I love this. But it's all a tweak of the mindset. But before we go, Pearl, please tell it. We're not to be narcissists, of course, but you wrote a little article about our nana and it was entitled something oh, kitchen. Yeah. What was it entitled?
It was called More Than Toast in Pots and Pans.
Right.
Yeah.
Our nana, her whole life.
Our mum's mum. Yeah.
Her whole life revolved around her kitchen.
It did.
That's where she entertained people. That's where she taught us the foundation of what we knew about health came from her. And it was her kitchen was the heart, was almost her own heart.
It was.
It wasn't just the heart of her home.
It was her heartbeat.
Yeah. And I just wanted to, she took that I have a kitchen and she never lost it.
She didn't lose it. I'm just here to say I've lost it at times.
Yes, me too.
I'm so happy to have it back. I pray I'll never lose it again because it has restored something so rich and powerful and beautiful to my life. May you remind me, Serene, if I seem like I'm dissing my kitchen or what I can do there.
Yeah.
Just pull me back in line, won't
you? And
you
know, when you have a kitchen, it's almost fun to clean it.
Yeah, when you have a kitchen.
You know, I remember being married for those first few months and thinking, oh, I'm scrubbing my own pot. You know, it felt really satisfying.
I have a pot to scrub. All right, we're good.
Go into your kitchen, people. Trim healthy mom on my way. And then I'll be
trim healthy mama to stay. This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.